You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
This week, we are sitting here with the incredibly talented writer and crooner, Michael Bublé. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Michael, let's talk about your new album, To Be Loved. In this album, you're covering the Bee Gees, Dean Martin, Jackie Wilson, and even Elvis. How did you come to select these songs?
For me, I get to raid the greatest jukebox ever, and I get to try to take songs from different genres and make them my own. And the truth is, you know, having a child coming into my life, I felt like my priorities were very straight. I felt very brave. You know, I was obviously, my life had so much contentment in it that I felt less afraid to really try for things than I might not have before. And so the first idea I had was to make a soul record. So I called up Bob Rock, the producer, and I said, Bob, I want to make a Phil Spector record, you know, minus the crazy. And he said, you mean a wall of sound? I said, everybody in a small room. We found East West Studios. It was a tiny little place. And we called the Dap Kings, and we called a bunch of players that, you know, guys that went and played with McCartney that we liked and stuff. And we ended up sticking a bunch of guys in a room, arrangers, musicians, and artists, and really creating we called it the Pop Jazz Sweatshop, where we had everybody working for, you know, 10 hours a day. But it wasn't working as much as it was, you know, vibing and partying off each other and enjoying each other's company and expressing our musical ideas to one another and building songs and concepts together with families everywhere. I mean, Bob had his sister and seven kids everywhere. I had mine. It was beautiful.
So are you trying to make a point that there is an art to interpretation?
I would say if you ask fans of Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, Louis Armstrong, I can keep going down the list. Some of the greatest entertainers of all time. I mean, it's hard to reinterpret a song. I mean, if it was easy to do, then everyone would have sold 40 million records doing it.
Michael, I've noticed you're writing a lot more of original material for each album. Is this important to you?
No, it's not about writing more. It's just about, I think, writing deeper, better songs that, you know, I'm learning. As a songwriter, I'm growing, you know, and I think the more you write, the better you get. I think my lack of music theory allows me to paint outside the lines a lot of the time and write songs in forms that people don't usually, I mean, people usually have a very strict form. I had a friend who told me he went to Berkeley to do a course, and in the course they taught, they used my music because the songs I had written were so stupidly wrong, but they worked, you know what I mean? And to show that you don't have to write the AAB, CAA, whatever the normal form is. I mean, you know, a normal song, you have a couple verses, a bridge, a pre-chorus, and a chorus. And, you know, for example, the song I wrote, Close Your Eyes, starts with a chorus, then goes into two verses, goes into a pre-chorus bridge, and then back into a chorus. It's very strange, but it works for me.
There's a single on the new album, Something Stupid. It's a collaboration with Reese Witherspoon. Was this like a reunion because you both did Totally Blonde together?
Well, I never was in a movie with her. I was in a different movie. I know it sounds strange, but her movie was, I can tell you the difference. Her movie was good. The movie I did was shit. And one's called Totally Blonde, the one I did, and hers is called Legally Blonde. And they should have just called one Gold and one Kakapupu, because I was in Kakapupu. And but I'd got to know her through the years. I'd gone to parties and stuff, and I was a huge fan of her portrayal of June Carter. And of course, the Walk the Line movie, Johnny Cash, I was a huge fan of Johnny Cash. And, you know, when I had done the song Something Stupid, I always wanted to record it. And I thought about, you know, at first I thought about Katy Perry, or I thought about, you know, some pop stars, Rihanna, people wouldn't expect it. And my manager said, you know, Michael, he said, what about Reese Witherspoon? Because we had both talked about how much we admired her. And I thought it was a great idea. I just thought that there was no way she would do it. And then it was difficult to get her to do it. She was nervous, and rightfully so, and trepidatious. It's not her world. But the more we talked and the more we started to like each other, I know that by the end, she was the cream on top for me. She was the cherry on top of a record that I loved. And for her, she told me that it was one of the top five moments of her career.
I'm reading the press release for this album that I'm looking at right now, and it says that this record is about love, happiness, fun, and yummy things. What do you consider yummy?
I didn't write that. That was a publicist that wrote that. So I would never write yummy things, but... would never write that. That's definitely my publicist, Liz Rosenberg. She's with me and Madonna and Stevie Nicks, and that's so the way she speaks. I didn't write it about yummy things. I made a record. The truth is, man, I made a record with my priorities being straight for the first time in my life. I made a record because I was happy and in love, and I knew I had a baby coming, and the truth is I didn't worry about the record. I didn't overthink it. I mean, there's no drama, there's no dramatic story to tell you about heartbreak or hurting. I just made a record because I was a happy man, and I chose songs that I loved, and felt very brave, and I felt invincible, and that I could do them the way I wanted to do them. And I had a producer that was, for me, the greatest producer I've ever worked with. He allowed me through a very, he's such a humble man. He allowed me to make the record I always wanted to make. He believed, as a producer, that a producer's job was to take an artist's vision and bring it to life, you know, and not get in the way of that. And he's the best. He's one of my best friends. And I think part of it was, I mean, people, when I remember when I went to the company and told them that I'd be making the record, they, you know, and who would be producing it, and they said, oh, it will be David Foster or Umberto Gatica. And I said, no, it'll be Bob Rock. And of course, their eyes, you know, popped open, because, you know, they said, Bob Rock? You mean Metallica Bob Rock? You mean Bon Jovi Bob Rock? You mean Incubus, you know, all this stuff. And I, honestly, man, in the standards on this record, no one has ever made standards sound like this for me, ever. This is how I always wanted to hear them. To me, it sounds like, you know, you've come down to the club and it's live and it feels good. And I've tried for that before, but I've never achieved it.
Michael, tell me something. How does it feel to sell out 15 nights in a row at the O2 in just 4 minutes?
Yeah, I'm so lucky. I mean, how lucky am I? I'm fortunate and I'm blessed. You know what, man? Through hard work and determination, I was accepted by countries all over the world. What an honor it is. Sometimes I take time to process how blessed I am, and the fact that, and it's true, my family is an extension. My fans, excuse me, are an extension of my family. And so I have family all over the world. I have people that every night I connect to, from Germany to Holland to England to Russia to Japan to Canada and the United States. I mean, all over. I mean, it's an amazing thing to be able to go and throw a party for, you know, 22,000 people every night, and, you know, get to have that kind of joy, to share that kind of joy with them.
Michael, speaking of joy, what does it feel like becoming a father at 37 years old?
I don't know what I'm doing, man, and I'm terribly nervous and more excited, and I love my wife a lot, and it really has put things in perspective, honestly. I mean, I was proud of the record. I really had a wonderful time making the record, and I'm even emotional about it when I think about what a joy it was to work with these guys that I love so dearly. They're my brothers, you know, and I made the best record of my life. But the truth is, if it sells 10 zillion copies or if the critics hate it or love it, the honest to God truth is I got bigger fish to fry than to worry about that. And that's kind of how it's been going. I mean, it's a life changer for me, and I can really see what it is that I want clearly, and that is to make sure that my personal life is number one, and then everything else comes after that.
So does that mean you have any plans on slowing down a bit?
I have slowed down already. I mean, I've taken my tour. I cut my tour from, I used to go for a month and a half on, and then 1 week off, and then I'd go a month on and a week off, and now I go 3 weeks on and 2 weeks off, and that's just how it's going to be. So you can imagine my promoters lost their shit, because, you know, it's like, oh my God, we're not going to make as much money, but that money isn't what's going to make me happy.
You have so many awards. Where do you display them? I mean, you must have a whole house full.
That's a good question. You know, I don't have one. I have not one in my house. I gave away my Grammys. I gave away the Junos. I have not one plaque in my house. I've given them to my friends and my family and dentists and delis that I've gone to in Vancouver and doctor's offices. And my parents, like I said, have... I mean, there was a point where they said, Mom, Dad, you've got to take these down. There's too many. People are going to think I'm dead and it's a shrine. But no, I've kept none. And my wife is the same. She's done a lot of movies and won a lot of awards. And we always say to each other, if we need to be reminded of who we are, we can just look in the mirror.
Michael, thank you very much. Randy and I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
Michael, good luck with the tour. Thank you again for listening to Popstar Conversations. Be sure to click the subscribe button below and hit the red bell so that you'll be notified of our next exclusive interview.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artist.